You're listening to an African Elements top news story for August 1, 2026. Please visit our website at africanelements.org for more daily news. DR Congo Ebola epidemic, the truth behind the crisis. The Democratic Republic of the Congo is confronting a severe global health emergency as a major viral outbreak escalates across multiple regions. Public health agencies and international observers report that the current outbreak has crossed historical records to become the second largest Ebola epidemic ever documented, spanning five provinces including Ituri, North Kivu, South Kivu, Haut-Uele, and Tshopo. The crisis has infected thousands of people and caused widespread loss of life. Human rights organizations and medical workers are raising urgent calls for emergency aid and equitable health resources to support vulnerable populations. The disease has extended beyond national borders into neighboring Uganda, where health officials detected 20 confirmed cases along active transit corridors and within Kampala before containing local transmission. This unfolding public health emergency highlights deep, structural disparities in how international resources are distributed during global health crises. For observers within the African diaspora, these disparities echo long-standing patterns of systemic neglect where African lives bear the brunt of delayed global support. Understanding the current crisis requires examining historical economic exploitation that leaves basic public health infrastructure severely underfunded across the continent. The history of Ebola virus disease began in late August 1976 in the remote northern village of Yambuku, located in the nation then known as Zaire. A local school headmaster presenting with severe hemorrhagic fever symptoms was initially treated for malaria at the Yambuku Mission Hospital. Unsterilized needles reused during routine medical treatments rapidly accelerated transmission throughout the facility. Pioneering Congolese researcher Dr. Jean-Jacques Mayembe Tamfam and Belgian microbiologist Dr. Peter Pio investigated patient zero and collected crucial blood samples. Researchers named the novel filovirus after the nearby Ebola River to avoid attaching a social stigma to the village of Yambuku. That inaugural 1976 outbreak ended with 318 recorded cases and 280 deaths, yielding a catastrophic fatality rate of 88%. Over the following decades, recurring spillovers from animal hosts established Central Africa as the primary center of Ebola research. The 1995 outbreak in Kikwit highlighted the dangers of hospital-acquired infections, while subsequent outbreaks reinforced the endemic nature of the virus in tropical rainforest environments. Decades later, the 2018-2020 Kivu outbreak marked the first time medical teams fought an epidemic inside an active war zone. Examining history before European intervention reminds us that African societies successfully managed local environments for centuries before colonial borderlines disrupted traditional health and mobility networks. A critical technical distinction defining the current crisis is the specific viral species driving transmission, the Bundibugyo strain. In previous outbreaks, medical workers successfully deployed monoclonal antibody treatments and the Ervebo vaccine to contain the Zaire strain. However, there are currently no approved vaccines or targeted therapeutic treatments specifically licensed for the Bundibugyo virus. Existing vaccines rely on the surface glycoprotein of the Zaire species to generate immunity. Because the amino acid sequence of the Bundibugyo protein differs significantly, antibodies produced by Zaire-focused vaccines offer limited cross-protection. In response to this gap, international research consortia are accelerating candidate vaccine trials. The University of Oxford initiated Phase 1 human trials for a candidate vaccine named ChAdOx1-BDBV. At the same time, organizations like the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovations are funding manufacturing platforms to produce trial doses. Public health experts are increasingly advocating for multivalent vaccines. Multivalent vaccines blend surface antigens from Zaire, Bundibugyo, and Sudan species into a single formulation. This approach provides broad-spectrum protection, eliminating the need to develop new single-strain vaccines during unpredictable regional outbreaks. The rapid spread of the epidemic is closely tied to persistent conflict in eastern Congo. Non-state armed groups, including the March 23rd Movement, the Cooperative for the Development of Congo, and the Allied Democratic Forces, operate across North Kivu and Ituri. These groups regularly attack medical centers, abduct health personnel, and loot essential medical supplies. Active warfare forces international aid organizations to suspend operations, leaving rural communities without basic care. Continuous instability has generated immense human suffering, driving over 6.9 million internally displaced persons into crowded temporary camps. Insecurity has severely impaired standard epidemiological tracking. In urban centers, every confirmed case typically requires monitoring up to 40 contacts. However, health teams actively track only 10% of targeted contacts due to active gunfire and movement restrictions. As a result, more than 80% of newly identified cases emerge outside established tracking lists. This breakdown highlights how systemic structural inequality in conflict zones severely limits access to state protection and basic lifesaving infrastructure during public health emergencies. The Ebola epidemic places a heavy burden on women and displaced families living in overcrowded camps. Women represent nearly 60% of confirmed and suspected cases in affected regions. Traditional social expectations assign women the primary responsibility for bedside caregiving, domestic health management, and ritual body washings. During funeral customs, these caregiving roles place women on the front lines of exposure to infectious bodily fluids. Furthermore, contracting Ebola during pregnancy leads to devastating consequences, including high rates of pregnancy loss and maternal death rates. Exceeding 90%, living conditions in displacement camps exacerbate these public health risks. Overcrowded shelters lack sufficient clean water, functional sanitation facilities, and basic hygiene supplies. Displaced families must share limited latrines, accelerating the spread of infectious illnesses. Historical analysis shows that institutional neglect during public health emergencies often disproportionately harms Black women. Addressing these vulnerabilities requires dedicated funding for reproductive health services and protective resources for female community caregivers. Overcoming skepticism in these communities also depends on recognizing how the history of medical mistrust influences local perceptions of outside health interventions. Despite the scale of the epidemic, international financial support remains well below required levels. Global funding rollbacks and competing foreign policy priorities have created significant resource deficits for emergency medical teams in Central Africa. International aid pledges often arrive long after local transmission rates spike. Consequently, frontline health workers lack basic protective gear, rapid diagnostic kits, and clean water supplies. This lag demonstrates how global funding structures leave African populations reliant on discretionary donor assistance rather than permanent health security commitments. Human rights organizations urge a fundamental shift in outbreak management strategies. Experience shows that relying heavily on armed security forces to enforce quarantines erodes community trust and increases local resistance. Instead, international agencies must prioritize community engagement, local leadership, and direct investments in civilian health infrastructure. Ensuring ethical oversight, supporting frontline health personnel, and protecting civilian rights are essential requirements for containing viral transmission in active conflict environments. African medical professionals and researchers are taking the lead in managing the outbreak response. The National Institute for Biomedical Research, led by Dr. Jean-Jacques Mayembe Tamfam, directs national diagnostic sequencing, epidemiological tracking, and laboratory operations across affected provinces. Congolese scientists design and manage clinical trial infrastructure, ensuring experimental treatments meet rigorous ethical standards. Local health teams conduct door-to-door education, contact tracing, and hygiene outreach in conflict zones and displacement camps. Regional partnerships coordinated through the Africa Centers for Disease Control and Prevention are strengthening cross-border health surveillance and medical supply distribution. Containing future epidemics requires sustained global support for African-led research institutions and primary healthcare systems. Rather than relying on temporary emergency aid, the international community must commit to long-term health equity. Resourcing local expertise and building resilient medical infrastructure offer the most effective path toward ending recurrent epidemics and protecting public health across the continent. Copyright, African Elements.